This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio and Tom Jocelyn of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's senior fellows. They keep the Long War Journal. And Fog of War, and we've talked about the map. We go now to the reporting that is available from Kabul. The media is giving us headlines in London that suggest the center of the concern is now the Kabul airport. Bill, I start with you because there are stunning, shocking, amazing videos of what appear to be hundreds of young men running beside a C-17, landing, I believe, at Kabul airport, climbing on the side of the C-17. There are other videos that suggest people have been trying to get on board the C-17. I was under the impression that Kabul airport was going to be secured for the exit of what the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, has said was an orderly evacuation. However, nothing about this appeared orderly. I puzzle where security is because the president has dispatched military units, Army and Marine Corps, and securing the Kabul airport seems straightforward. What do you make of these incomplete fog of war reports of people running beside a C-17, Bill?
Yeah, John, and you said it well. This is anything but orderly. I want to be very clear about this. This is what I am going to say here is not an indictment of the soldiers and airmen and Marines that are on the ground doing an extremely difficult task. They've been given an impossible task. The military leadership failed them, and this airport is not secured. These videos don't lie, John. I saw a video of what appears to be an Afghan falling off of a plane as it's taking off from midair. It's reminiscent of the jumpers from 9/11, from the towers. That means that people are hanging onto the wheel wells of the aircraft to get out of Afghanistan. The tarmac is not secured. There's supposed to be 6,000 Marines in the country, but how is this airport not secured? The answer very likely is it can't be secured, and we probably right now couldn't put enough soldiers and Marines on the ground to secure it. There is a very serious risk right here that I'm going to lay out, and I pray does not happen. If one suicide bomber makes it through that airport, and when you look at those videos, you can see there's just people everywhere. There's no way you can, these people they're not being controlled. They're not being filtered. If a suicide bomber gets and hangs onto a plane as it takes off and blows up, the U.S. military has a catastrophe of the highest order on its hands. Ground operations will have to cease, and then U.S. soldiers and Marines are going to be forced to clear that tarmac. And they may have to do it via force. And can you imagine, aside from U.S. soldiers and civilians and a wrecked $250 million aircraft, you're going to have videos, and you will have videos. This day and age, you're always video. You're going to have videos of that plane smoldering on the tarmac, and you're going to have videos of soldiers opening fire on Afghan civilians. This is a worst case scenario. One of many worst case scenarios that we can think of. And I'm just going to say one more quick thing. When General McKenzie, the commander of CENTCOM, was given the task, because Afghanistan is his AO and he's the commander of Afghanistan, when President Biden announced the withdrawal and they handed over Bagram, he should have insisted it remain open or resigned, because anyone who's been to Kabul or a lieutenant in the U.S. military would know that you would not want to do an evacuation in Kabul, because the airport is literally in the city. It's a couple of it's like a 5 kilometer drive from the heart of the city, from actual U.S. military, from Resolute Support headquarters, what used to be, that's now Taliban controlled. And you have a mass of people. You needed to get those people to Bagram and then stage the evacuation with the page. McKenzie should have resigned. Instead, he saluted and said, yes, sir. And if one American dies because of this, this is on him, and the American public needs to hold him accountable.
Tom, your measure these last weeks, we've all talked about, was there preparation for evacuation in the case of worst case scenario? The plan B, plan C, plan D. At this point, Tom, in all of your reporting, and you're hearing from lots of voices around the world, what do we understand about why there was not planning to have sufficient aircraft and a secure airfield? Do you see anything on the news or from your colleagues, Tom, that tell us why they weren't prepared?
You know, it's funny, John. I see a lively debate on social media, especially on Twitter, about whether or not this was an intelligence failure, this rapid capture of Kabul. And I'm sure there are intelligence assessments from the CIA and ODNI saying that, you know, Kabul could fall quickly. But the failures that Bill and I are talking about here is that clearly those intelligence assessments did not filter up or were not relied upon by U.S. military commanders who were actually in charge of previously the war fighting and then also the evacuation, because you wouldn't be seeing this scramble to use the airport in Kabul to get out in such a haphazard manner if they had actually really understood how dire the threat was to Kabul. They would have already had the U.S. embassy evacuated weeks ago. They would have used Bagram months ago, as Bill said, to get most of U.S. personnel out. They wouldn't have put themselves in this compromised position in which they're mixed and mingling with civilians in a very risky situation. If they had actually seen this coming. So when we talk about failures here or intelligence failures, what we're talking about is that basically the military commanders who are in charge of this, you know, whether they understood Kabul was in general under risk or not, they clearly did not plan for this hasty overthrow of Kabul.
The question, Al-Qaeda, when we come back, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, never left the country. In the country, where? What does it mean? What are we witnessing now in Kabul and the other large cities? Tom Jostin, Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They keep the Long War Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.